I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute.
Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here with my co-host, Matt Barros, 49ers Plus Minus. Matt is in Indianapolis at the Combine, Scouting Combine, which I never go to, but it's always full of good gossip, always full of information. John Lynch did his big presser, and then I guess he did his little smaller confab with the beat writers. Matt Barros, what do you get out of that? What was his message? What was the information you got?
There was a lot. It was disparate. Everything from free agency to their ongoing defensive coordinator search, which I thought was the most pertinent. And, he said that they're looking both inside and outside the building. Brandon Staley has been interviewed. Staley actually interviewed last week. Nick Sorensen is an in-house candidate who was interviewed. Daniel Bullocks will be another one who is interviewed. And there have to be at least two more outside interviews. They haven't done any Rooney Rule interviews so far. You have to interview two outside the organization minority candidates in order to comply with that. So, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're even close to being finished with it. Maybe by the end of the week they will be, but they still have things to do. There's no rush, of course, because they're the only team that's looking for a defensive coordinator at this point. So all the available candidates only have one place to go, and that's San Francisco. My read on it, Lynch said this several times, both when he was on the podium and then sort of behind the scenes with the locals, is that they don't want to veer very far away from their system. Four-man front, aggressive system, all of that. To me, that points to an internal candidate at this point. Brandon Staley not only is an external candidate, his system is, I mean, you can almost describe it as the polar opposite of what the 49ers do. He prefers a 3-4. It's a very complex system where, you know, the idea is that this defense has answers for everything. But because of that, you know, there's a lot of analyzing by the players, a lot of different variables, a lot of different things they can do on a given play, whereas the 49ers is supposed to be you just react and you play fast. So I just have a hard time reconciling that. I asked Lynch that. I said, it sounds like, you know, it's not going to be Brandon Staley. And he cut me off very quickly. He said, no. This guy's a very bright mind. He's got great ideas. Do not rule him out. Tea leaf reading and kind of, scouting combine buzz is that people have a hard time seeing it being Staley. But they interviewed him. So, they went at least that far. I would say that the smart money right now is on Nick Sorensen.
Yeah, I mean, again, listen, they got rid of Steve Wilks because he didn't quite fit the culture. You're going to have to find somebody who fits the culture, right? You don't want to bring someone else. That's why I was never high on a Staley thing, because not only does he have his own system, and not only did Joey Bosa not like it very much in LA, which I think is a big deal, but also he's got his own thing. Like, isn't it? Brandon Staley is going to do the Brandon Staley thing. That's Brandon Staley. He's got this, media people who love him. He's got this scheme that, and I don't know that they were going to go down that road unless he was the perfect guy to do it. And I don't think he was. Now, Nick Sorensen, we'll have to see. It's going to be interesting. You go from Steve Wilks to, if it is Nick Sorensen, like, he's going to have to come in with some stuff. I have floated Jeff Ulbrich's name out there. I said, obviously the Jets could block that. Maybe the 49ers have gone that road and it's just not anything the Jets are going to allow. I have a feeling that that was something they really did think about heavily. Beyond that, I don't know. Because that would be in the Seattle system. That would be a linebacker. That would be a D'Amico Ryan kind of model, But it'll be, if they go in-house, there's some questions. Like, why didn't you hire Nick Sorensen last time? Right? I mean, you could have. You move on from Steve Wilks, an established, leader, and you go to somebody you're not so sure. We'll see. I mean, maybe Nick Sorensen or whoever else is going to be is great, but there's going to be questions with that. I mean, do you know him personally at all, Sorensen? What kind of personality does he have?
He went to Virginia Tech, so that's a minus right there. He also played for my rival high school. He was a Marshall statesman. Tim, you put yourself on mute there. Okay.
I know.
And I was a Madison Warhawk. So we're crosstown rivals. So we've talked a lot about that. I think the appeal of Sorensen, not only is he an internal candidate, he's done a little bit of everything with the 49ers. A couple of years ago, Johnny Holland was dealing with multiple myeloma and had to leave the team. For a bit. It was Nick Sorensen who came in and coached the linebackers there. He's coaching nickel backs this past season. He's coached defensive backs in the past. He played safety in the NFL. He played cornerback in the NFL. He was the Jaguars' special teams coordinator for one season. He actually had to fill in for Brian Schneider, who left abruptly in Jacksonville, and it was Sorensen who came in. He runs their what they call the ball meeting, which is they meet once a week on Thursdays to talk about takeaways. He's the guy that runs that. So I think he's got sort of a broad appeal. He's got a good personality. People like him. Is he perfect? Is he a linebackers guy? Has he been coaching in the system for 10 years? No. But I think the 49ers feel like he's sharp enough and, like, I keep describing him as having sort of a global, vision. I mean, he's been in so many different spots in this defense that he knows how it works, and can run it because of that. To your Ulbrich point, the thing that I would add about Ulbrich is he's got the cult of personality. He's a very magnetic person. People like him. They like to play for him. I mean, he's the ideal candidate, and that's been a big scuttlebutt about Ulbrich here in Indianapolis. Everybody thinks that the 49ers would love to have him. No one is quite convinced that the issue is dead, although John Lynch told me that it is dead. Ulbrich is under contract. The 49ers never put in a formal request for him. When you ask to speak to another team's assistant, you have to fill out a slip. So you always say, have you guys filled out a slip for anybody on the Jet staff? The answer is no. So there's been no sort of formal engagement. Has there been informal engagement? Has there been back channel stuff? I have to say that the answer to that is yes, but it could be that they've just gotten, you know, the Heisman from Robert Saleh all along, and that, you know, by now it is a dead issue and that they realize that it's not going to happen. But I still think that it's at least, if it's an EKG machine, the blip isn't quite aligned yet. There's still a faint beep, beep going on with the 49ers and Ulbrich situation.
Well, let me know when that thing spikes. If it does, you let me know, Dr. Barrows. But here's a question. Like, you know, it was a quick firing, and you would have think if he's going to go move on from Steve Wilks, he has a good idea. Kyle Shanahan has a good idea who the coordinator was going to be. Maybe he didn't, though, because it was so quick. Like, maybe it was just a Kyle, I can't have him as my defensive coordinator. It's not going to happen. I got to move on. And even if there isn't a short list to replace him, it doesn't feel like they have that, other than maybe Ulbrich, maybe Gus Bradley. It doesn't feel like those two guys did not have, like, you know, you weren't sure you could get either guy because they're both coordinators. So the team has to prove it. So maybe Kyle did not have like a really set short list. You know, that he absolutely knew he could turn to, and he's just gonna have to interview to figure out who it was gonna be. Matt, that surprises me a little bit.
You know, it could be a Mac Jones situation.
I wasn't paying attention.
No, I hear you. We have a little delay like we always do. It could be a Mac Jones situation where Shanahan knew that he had Nick Sorensen all along as a possibility. Let's just go out and see what else is out there. Worst comes to worst, we hire Nick Sorensen, and it's a good hire. So to me, that's kind of how it plays out. I mean, I was doing stories about, you know, Steve Wilks during the season, and at one point, you know, Wilks was doing a great job, and the 49ers defense was humming. And so the question became at that point, okay, what if Wilks gets hired as a head coach at the end of the season? Who would be an internal candidate who could succeed him? And that's when I first heard about Sorensen being a possibility. So I think that's been at least on their minds as a possibility for some time now.
All right. End of the week, you think? Couple days? When does this thing end?
Again, I mean, they still have work to do. They haven't filed a slip with the New York Giants. I mean, sorry, the New York Jets. And there are other assistants on the Jets who make sense. Marquand Manuel, Tony Oden. They haven't filed one with the Houston Texans either. And we've talked about Chris Kiffin as a possibility. They haven't asked either of those teams yet. So, again, there doesn't seem to be any rush about it. End of the week is a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes into next week, though, too.
That's surprising. I mean, listen, not that Isaiah Oliver is the barometer of much, but you're getting rid of him. What if the new coordinator loves the guy, right? I mean, you are making some decisions now that are affecting where you go. You are in a combine. I know the 49ers coaches aren't there, but you're getting information. You're getting the feel of it. Kind of want your defensive coordinator there, right? I mean, it feels a little slow, or in fact, a lot slow. I thought they would have it done by now, but they do their own things. And here I am saying they made a fast decision to fire him, and why aren't they making a faster one to replace him? But it just feels like this process is a little clunkier, I think, than we're used to. But then again, Shanahan's never fired a coordinator before, right? He hasn't gone through that, so maybe this is a new thing. Any other impressions from John Lynch? I mean, he looked like he was in a good mood. He looked like he had good energy. You know, he isn't the one who we've seen up and down for this stuff like we see with Kyle. But what was the general mood from Lynch? What other things did you glean from the two sessions he had with the reporters?
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there.
Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I get the impression that Lynch is the franchise's therapist. Like, he's the one that kind of keeps everybody on an even keel. He's the one that encourages Kyle Shanahan to take some time off. And that may be part of the delay here, is that, you know, Shanahan gets worn down by the end of these seasons. You could see it in his face. He loses weight. Obviously, he's fatigued. So there may have been just some kind of recovery time that he took. The funny thing, what was going on is Lynch has his podium session, and then he takes the locals, maybe there were five of us, Mayoko, Mike Silver, Jennifer, David Lombardi was there, to a sort of a back room, and we sit at a table and we kind of go over more inside the 49ers questions than he got from the Nationals when he was on the podium. So as we're sitting down around this round table, there's a TV in the background, and guess what's being played on screen? The Super Bowl. So he's having to kind of answer questions about the Super Bowl, about Drake Greenlaw, about the, as you're saying, about the kind of the psychology of the team, while, you know, there's a picture of Jake Moody having his point after attempt blocked. So, Lynch is a bullion. I mean, he's a good-natured person. I don't think he's somebody that falls into funks very often. I've never seen him out of sorts. So he was in a John Lynch mood today.
Okay, Brandon Ayuk update. Anything telling that he said about Ayuk's contract?
I mean, it's all reading the tea leaves, and I think people were doing that on February 13 when he spoke about Ayuk, and it wasn't sort of the effusive sort of Nick Bosa-like response that, oh, yeah, we're going to re-sign this guy no matter what. It's priority number one. And that got people thinking, oh, are they going to trade this guy? That, in combination with Ayuk's very sort of cryptic, lugubrious responses in the locker room. Today, it was more sort of those Lynch quotes that he gave for, you know, George Kittle and for Debo Samuel and for Fred Warner. You know, this is a homegrown guy. We want to take care of our homegrown guys. We're going to do everything in our ability to re-sign him. So it was more forceful, I would say, than what he was saying on February 13, which I thought was more sort of careful. Again, it's just words at this point. They haven't sat down and started to negotiate anything. I thought that one of the more significant things is that he talked about a long-term deal with Juwan Jennings. So that's a possibility as well. Juwan Jennings is going to be a restricted free agent. They can put a tender on him and keep him here for one more year. He's talking about having Jennings sign for multiple years, three or four years or something like that. So that's that actually could happen a lot sooner than a Brandon Ayuk deal.
Could you see Juwan as a number two receiver? I can't really. I mean, the numbers, the production's good, but I don't know that he's a guy you'd want a team only with Debo. Where do you see Juwan? Is he a third receiver?
Yeah, I mean, I can see him pairing him with Brandon Ayuk more than I can pairing him with Debo Samuel. I mean, I think he's definitely number two worthy. I think the market is going to determine that real quick. If they don't get a deal done, and the clock is ticking on that, by the way, they've got 2 weeks before free agency starts. If they can't get one done, they have to put a tender amount on him, and they're sort of guessing what the rest of the league thinks about him. I think a lot of 49ers observers would think that they would put a second round tender on him, which would allow the 49ers to match whatever deal he gets. And if they can't, then they get a second rounder in return. The step below that is an original round tender, and he was a seventh rounder. So they would only get a seventh round pick in return And if I'm another team and I'm rebuilding my roster and I'm running the 49ers style offense, I want a tough guy, I would do that in a heartbeat. Only thing you have to give up is a seventh rounder. That seems like a no-brainer. So my guess is that it's the second round tender. I've never seen them use a second round tender on a restricted free agent before. So it'll be new ground if they do that.
Obviously, a bit of surprise, saw the cap go up, due to media rights or whatever. I mean, it went higher than, and I always estimate up, and it went up another, 13%, whatever, some big number. Do you think there's a practical, conclusion of that? And the 49ers like, oh, now we couldn't afford this guy, and now we can. Did Lynch have a reaction to that? And what do you think that turns out to be?
Yeah, I mean, it helps everybody. That's the bottom line. So everybody now has more room to sign players. So let's just take Juwan Jennings, for example. Another team now has a little bit more room to make a move like that. The other part of that is that when the cap goes up, so do all these tender amounts. So the tender amounts that I was just describing come with a certain price tag for Juwan Jennings. It ranges from 4.6 million, one of the highest, to 2 million, but those went up at the same time the cap did as well. So it's all related. I don't know if it really benefits the 49ers any more than any other team. It hurts them in some ways just because all of a sudden their competitors have more room to sign these guys as well. Contracts are going to go up accordingly as well. I mean, it's all part of the same pie.
One thing, I guess, I was just thinking, they've signed so many big contracts in the last few years that, if the cap goes up like this, they don't look as bad, right? In the big years, when you're paying Trent Williams $26 million, $26 million is going to be the going rate for a really good left tackle. It's not an excess number. $34 million a year for Nick Bosa will be exceeded by somebody. Like this stuff, that you build that in when you pay off these large numbers, that at some point it's not going to look like Jimmy Garoppolo's deal was the highest salary in NFL history when they signed it. And then by the 3 weeks later, it was fifth, right? I mean, when the number goes up, the deals you're locked into, if you happen to be locked into a lot of them, don't look as bad. I think that's kind of what I was thinking more than anything. The Fred Warner deal, the George Kittle deal, these aren't the Deebo Samuel deal. These are big deals, but if you're locked into them, you're not bidding with anybody, and the number does look better every year that the cap goes up that high.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's a terrific point, and that helps the 49ers. Mike Silver asked a question. I mean, he noted that 2 years ago they signed Charvarius Ward. Last year it was Javon Hargrave. So they made these big moves in each of the last two seasons. So Silver asked, is there another one coming? And I thought it was interesting. I mean, Lynch hemmed and hawed, and he said, we're working through all those scenarios right now. But he didn't discount it offhand, which I thought he might. He might say, we got 2025 coming. We have all these big salaries. We've got to think about Brock Purdy's deal. He didn't dismiss it offhand, which is interesting. That means that I think that they're at least going to consider it. I'd still be surprised if there's another big one like that. I don't know what. I mean, I guess defensive line would be the position. Maybe they do have a surprise for us, that first week of free agency.
They love those surprises. They do love them. But I would think it would be a right tackle. And I've looked at the list. I'm sure you looked at it much closely. There's not really a tackle available that would you go, oh, that's the guy that's worth $14 million a year. What was McGlinchey last year? 16? And if that's what's going away for a right tackle, I don't think they need to get – they need a draft a tackle. I've said this a million times. Draft a tackle, move McKivitz to right guard, and maybe this tackle is your heir apparent to Trent Williams. So you've helped yourself in three spots potentially. Maybe you move up. You've got some extra comp picks.
Yeah.
There's some tackles. Again, I haven't looked a lot. I'm just reading the reports. There definitely seem to be 5 to 7 draftable tackles in the first round this year. They're at 31. They got some picks. Can you move to 26 and get the third best instead of the fifth best? Something like that. I just see I know your defensive line, because it's always safe to bet that they're going to draft a defensive lineman, and they could, because I don't know who they've got on the end other than opposite Bosa. But I just think right tackle is such a glaring need, and you can't get one unless you draft one in the first or second round. It's hard to stumble into a fifth round tackle, right? It's just hard. They're out there, but they haven't done it, and this is a year to do it. I just think right tackle is such an easy pick for them, even if, you know, and if you move up even better, and you fill a spot, you help, you know, you kick McKivitz to right, or you just help yourself in so many different ways. I think tackles they're there in this draft too.
There's a guy named, I want to say his name is Tyler Guyton. I think I'm getting that right. He's an Oklahoma Sooner. So you would have bookend Oklahoma.
Trent Williams would like that. He would definitely.
He's custom built for this offense. He's good on the hoof. He's long. He's young. There's a lot of room to grow. He'd be perfect for this offense. The only issue is that, you know, right now it looks like he's going to go anywhere from, say, pick 15 to pick 20. So you're right. I mean, they do have, 11 picks? You know, they got a first rounder, they got a second rounder, they've got a couple of third rounders. They have the ability to move up significantly and get somebody that they like. And this guy would just be perfect for them. That could be it. I mean, I agree with you that's a big ticket purchase, and you need a high or fairly high first round pick to get a tackle, somebody that you think can be in your system for 10 years. If you wait till 31, are you going to get that guy? I don't know. I'm skeptical. You know, we're going to be doing all sorts of mock drafts from here until late April. I just did one the other day. It was our beat writer one. And I've got Jeff Zrebeck, who covers the Ravens for us, picking right ahead of us, picking right ahead of the 49ers. And who does he pick at pick 30? A tackle. Mm-hmm. And he picked like the last good tackle. That was it, which forced me to go with a defensive end, which I didn't feel bad about. But I just think that's a scenario that absolutely could play out, that those tackles, because they're in such high demand, are gone by pick 25. You have to go up if you want to get one of the elite ones.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Plus, they stink in the third round, right? I mean, like, and I know you don't have to, you can't think that way, that these picks still are value, even if you're continuously draft third round players who do not make your roster after a year. But I was like, can you move the two third round, the comp and the Euro third, move up four spots to make sure you get the fourth tackle instead of getting frozen out? That's what I would be my number one plan for them going in. Since I'm writing a column about this, I'll just ask you. I'm writing my offseason predictions a little bit late this year, but we can understand why the season got a little bit late this year. Who's the 49ers backup quarterback next season? Who do you think would be the most likely? Is it Sam Darnold, who might get pricey? Is it Brandon Allen? Is it unknown? Is it, where do the 49ers go for the backup quarterback next season?
Yeah, I think it's Brandon Allen. I mean, I think that's why they I don't want to say bent over backwards, but they really kind of strained to keep Allen around. They gave him, remember, that was a big controversy in training camp. Why are you giving Brandon Allen snaps when Trey Lance needs all that he can handle? Trey Lance, Sam Darnold was coming in and learning the offense for the first time. You know, Brock Purdy was coming back from his elbow. And Brandon Allen was getting a certain number, not a lot, but a certain number. I think this was all kind of geared toward Brandon Allen being the number two guy this year. And he's been the number two guy in the past. They like him. He's a really good resource for Brock Purdy. He's not Mr. Excitement. He doesn't have a killer arm, but it's similar to Brock Purdy. So you would have your first two quarterbacks would be very similar. So I think they do that, and then they bring in another young guy as the sort of the project, the Brock Purdy of 2024.
I completely agree. I will be writing this. And also, this is anecdotal, but when I see Purdy talking with another quarterback in the locker room, it's Brandon Allen. Like, you know, I think he talks to Darnold maybe during games, whatever, but those two I see more kind of like, you know, as a joint entry as the quarterback room more than I thought with Darnold. And Darnold was a different, you know, shipped in, and he's trying to get his value back up. And I'm not saying he was any kind of problem. I'm just saying I thought Brandon Allen was kind of a resource that Brock Purdy felt very comfortable with. Just talking, I heard him like talking about when the meeting is going to be and when they're going to do this. And that's the kind of guy you want with Purdy, right? You want the guy that he's comfortable with, the veteran he can lean on. And, you know, if he has to miss three games, I don't think Kyle Shanahan is that upset about playing. You know, Brandon Allen was better in his mind than Trey Lance. It was not even questioned.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a comfortable backup quarterback for him. I would thought the Stetson Bennett would be somebody he would be interested as a third kind of guy. I know he has some interest in him in the draft. Rams went drafted him. He was not on the team this season. I think they still have his rights, though. So I would have put Stetson Bennett in there if he was out there available, but I will not do that. I'll just throw that name out there because we know Kyle kind of – once he likes a quarterback, it kind of lasts a few years. So keep Stetson Bennett's name out there. There might be – I don't know, where's Jake Haener? Is he on a roster right now?
He's in New Orleans.
Okay. With the Shanahan assistant taking
there
over.
You assistant there you go. There you
go. All right. What else you got? What other – you're out of there tomorrow, or are you sticking around for any of the workouts?
No, I'm not. I'm out of there first flight of the day. I'm definitely gonna watch the workouts from home, which is actually a better spot to watch them. And I'm gonna have my eye on defensive linemen, offensive linemen, cornerbacks. I think wide receiver is something that we should probably be talking about more. Just given the contract situations of all these guys, even if they put a nice tender on Juwan Jennings, that just means that he's an unrestricted free agent next year. And then you got the Debo situation. I think it would be nice to have a good wide receiver in the chute. And I don't know if they've got a good young one in the chute right
Danny
now.
Danny Gray, you're writing off Danny Gray and his great career so far. You're writing that off?
Is one catch for 7 yard career so far? Yeah, that's who I'm talking about.
Done. He's. I don't even know if he's going to be on the roster next season. All right, Barros. Quick one at the combine. I'm glad you were there. I'm glad you were able to rub elbows. No Kyle Shanahan again. Is he just never going to go to a combine again? We're never going to see him there?
He heard that Tim Kawakami doesn't go. So why should I go? I was teasing D'Amico Ryans about it because this is a trend. I mean, and all these Shanahan kind of coaching tree guys, McVay doesn't go, Robert Saleh doesn't go, although I did hear Robert Saleh is here, but he's not here for any of the media stuff. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be a bigger trend in the future that fewer and fewer of these guys are going to show up.
These coaches get tired, and I get it. Like, they don't need to go. I mean, especially the guys who are in the Super Bowl. But although Andy Reid's there, but they don't need to just, like, go through this and the hubbub and have to chit-chat with everybody. And that's not Kyle's thing. That's one thing I respect about him. He's not a chit-chat, get on NFL Network and do a plug. And like, he's just not that guy. And McVay kind of is that guy, but he blows it off too. And if those two guys are blowing it off, I mean, they are so influential with all their comrades. They have to go to the owners' meetings, right? They have to go to that. So they'll go there. That's where they'll do their connecting. That's where they'll do their conversations. And Kyle will get the hell out of there again. And maybe he'll look up as groggy as he was last year at the media session. That was classic groggy Kyle. My God.
That was rough.
Yeah, we'll see if Barrows can meet him with the grogginess out there. All right. Well, that's another thing I will not be going to. I just don't go to these things. Old me, rebel me. I just don't do stuff like that. I wish I didn't have to do the Super Bowl this year, but I did. All right, Barros, with that negativity, we will end this. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Say goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.